Get a grip, motherfucker. Yeah. This album is dedicated to all the teachers that told me I never amount to nothing. To all the people that lived above the buildings that I was hustling in front that called the police on me when I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter.
It's all good.
And all the niggas in the struggle. You know what I'm saying? It's all good, baby, baby. It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine.
Oh, shit. It's that time. Play that motherfucker, Lee. Let's do this. Come on, baby. Oh, shit. Little biggie for you motherfuckers here. All right. It's Wednesday. Get the fuck up. The world is waiting for you. Watch that fucking monkey, cocksuckers. The church of what's happening now. Turn that shit off, Lee. Here you go. We're here, cocksucker. The church of what's happening now. It's a beautiful fucking day to be alive. October 3rd. I got Minnie Finney. Say hello. That's right, cocksucker. I got Flying Jew, Lee Syatt in the fucking house here. How's everybody doing? What's happening, Leland?
Everything is great, man. It's fucking October. I'm ready to go.
Fucking the playoffs, right? You happy? The Red Sox in?
No, the Red Sox couldn't be further out. They're okay. Fucking...
Fuck it. Next year.
Whatever. I don't
know. Who gives a fuck?
There's too many games in baseball to pay attention, man. It's just... I love the
Red
Sox.
Starts in fucking April. And man, I only watch baseball in fucking... October, anyway.
It's only good live, man. I haven't been to Dodger Stadium yet, but I mean,
what the fuck is wrong with you? You didn't go and get hit in the head yet? You gotta go down to Dodger Stadium, get out of there, the fucking Mayans. It's like Sons of Anarchy at the fucking Dodger Stadium. You know what I'm saying?
That's why me and Wade Jew doesn't go. I go to Fenway Park and sit in the nice seats and I have a beer and I leave.
Shit, Fenway Park. Those
I love Fenway.
Savages there too.
I love Fenway. But they like me because I wear their. I'm a fan of their team. Go to fucking Dodgers and they punch you in the eye.
That's right. Fuck it. I'd punch you in the fucking eye too if you sat in front of me. Last time I went to a Dodger game.
Why? I'm sure. You can see over me.
I went with my fucking uncle. Let me tell you something, dog. I love those Dodger games. You go. You eat something heavy before you go and you fart at those fucking games. There's usually a kid in front of you with his dad. One time I went to Prime Rib and I had the horseradish.
Oh, come on. That's not even fair.
Oh, and there was a kid and his father sitting next to him. Like he got him once a week. The kid had the glove and everything. I'm sitting there and this tear gas is coming out of my little muffler. And I bounced it directly so it could bounce off the chair right into their fucking space. And they just kept looking at each other and going like this. And after like 16 of those fucking horseradish farts, they looked at each other. They got up and they abandoned ship.
Well, they would have gotten horseradish farts with you. That's fucking miserable.
Fucking Sons of Anarchy last night, bitches. Tremendous. I mean, last night was okay. You follow me? I mean, the fucking action's heat. One thing about Sons of Anarchy, I learned when they went over to Ireland to get the kid. Jesus fucking Christ, they will milk it. But every episode, somebody gets a beating, somebody gets stabbed, some chick gets punched in the fucking face, Gemma, somebody gets fucked, somebody gets blown up, shut the fuck up, Finney, I'm trying to drop some knowledge here. Look at this guy pissing right next to me in the fucking litter box.
Staring at me in the eyes.
Staring at you like he owns the fucking bathroom. But last night, the best thing that happened was a tit and a fucking thumb. They went looking for this hooker, and the guy goes, all right, you're going to kill it? We want proof, eh? Send us a fucking tit and a thumb. That's old school. A tit and a thumb.
Oh,
how about
shit.
Just a thumb? We call it fucking even. I got to come up with a fucking tit now, too, to satisfy you little Mexican cocksucker.
I can't even imagine cutting a tit off. That's fucking...
Wait, you're never going to have to cut a tit off. We're going to just fucking squeeze them and suck them. That's it.
I know
nice
I wouldn't
guy.
Have to, but Jesus Christ.
Sometimes they're dead. You got to do what you got to do. You know, the fucking payment. And you didn't see there used to be this doctor on HBO. Nobody remembers. Dr. Bowden. Dr. Biden, whatever his name was. It was like fucking before CSI. They would go to this guy with real murders, all right?
Okay.
Dr. Anthony Bowden. I forget what his name is. If somebody remembers on Twitter, twit me. This motherfucker here, if you're dead, if they call him in, he's going to find out who the fuck you are. And the one time they killed the stripper and they cut her in half and they put her in the Jersey Shore. This motherfucker from the torso, no head, no arms, just from the torso. Found out who the chick was and who killed her.
Was it because like the breast implants or something?
The breast implants had codes in them. Not to mention, he had fucking. She had clams in her stomach. See if she was a dirty hoe. She went and ordered like expensive clams that you could only get somewhere else. From that's what she had in her stomach. So Dr. Biden went to all the fucking restaurants that sold those type of clams.
Oh my god!
Boom! They caught her with the fucking dude. Close that door for your Uncle Joey there, because if not, I can't fucking. Focus here. But it's a beautiful day to be alive. It's Wednesday. I'm happy. Everybody's fucking happy. What else is going on here? A lot of people have been calling. You know what pissed me off? I hate wasted fucking time in life. Wasted time is the worst thing in the world. Especially when the government or somebody's wasting our taxpayers. They're still looking for Jimmy Hoffa. Who gives a fuck where Jimmy Hoffa is? Let this cocksucker die. Like, listen, if you don't show up after a week, your family starts to think about, what does he do? He roller skates. He does this. He's a fucking Momo. Whatever. It's 37 years later. Do you think they give a fuck how he died? Or anybody gives a fuck how he died? That was 37 years ago. Obviously, you know he ain't coming back for fucking dinner. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, one day you're like, oh, he hasn't shown for a year. Maybe he's dead. Nobody leaves for 37 years and disappears. Stop looking in fucking Michigan. You know where Hoffa's body's at? In Japan. They put it in a fucking car and shipped it to Japan right after they killed him. The car got fucking squashed. It's over. Stop looking for Jimmy Hoffa. Nobody gives a fuck. You might as well go to Mars and do all that. You're wasting your fucking time here. We got 10 million fucking Americans without fucking work, and you're spending thousands to find out where Jimmy Hoffa is. Leave Jimmy Hoffa the fuck alone, wherever the fuck he is. Dead and buried. He's under Giant Stadium. He ain't nowhere. He's dead. They crushed his fucking bones and sent him to in a fucking car in the trunk to Japan as a stolen car. When they got there, they fucking squished it. That's the story on the fucking street. And I'm just some fat fuck from Hudson County, New Jersey, where it all went down. So I don't want to hear no fucking stories no more. No more Jimmy Hop. I don't give a fuck. Why are we concerned? Right, a cold case. Oh, they murdered this fucking old lady in 1964. What's it got to do with me? If you didn't figure it out in a week, it's 48 hours. That's why they got a show called 48 fucking hours. If we can't figure it out in 48 hours, we'll just pretend. We'll just fucking pretend or assume where the fuck you're at.
So you don't care who killed Tupac or Biggie or anything?
What's it got to do with you? When you go to Ralph's tomorrow, you still got to pay. What's it got to do with you? What are you going to do? Sit there and go, I knew it? Fucking knew it. Oh,
they want people to write the movie.
What fucking movie? There ain't no fucking movie. That's 25.
That's because they don't know who killed him yet.
Would you stop? They know who fucking killed Biggie. It was the cops from LAPD. It was cops.
Oh, I just mean
they got it all twisted. Tupac was what's his name? You ever see Tupac in the last picture they took of him in the fucking car in the BMW?
He's looking
at the camera.
Okay,
he knew right there he was going down. Oof. You know, a lot of people don't know Tupac was about to leave the label. He was dating Quincy Jones' daughter, something to do like that. She knew the whole story, and they knew it. They were the fucking. He was the cash cow of the fucking label.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? You going to let your fucking cash cow leave? You think Rogan would let Red Band leave? Fuck no. He's putting 22 bullets in that motherfucker. There won't be no more cats with little fucking things around. It's just the way it is. It's all about the paper. It's all about the fucking Benjamin. So what are you going to do? We got my buddy Mike Kessler today. I've known Mike for fucking 20 years. I've known him from Boulder when I got out of that joint. And I was in the halfway house, and I would walk past his dealership every day, and we became friends. I got him calling in from Colorado.
He's one of the first people you told me about when we first started working together. You just told me, like he's Jewish, right?
He's fucking Jewish, yeah. But he's the man. He's my fucking uncle.
But he's the man.
He's my fucking uncle. I don't give a fuck if he... Listen, I'd rather hang out with you if you're a fucking Jew, because I know where your head and your heart are from. I know that somewhere along the line... You had a hard-working Jew in your fucking family, and they commit. Once a Jew commits, you think they sit there and throw rocks? You think fucking Israel is a powerhouse? They killed Jesus. Those are the people you want. They don't get emotionally fucking involved, those fucking Jews. It's all about the Benjamins with them and the yarmulke. That's it. It's how much is in my fucking yarmulke, cocksucker. You're going to show up here and talk to me about Jimmy Hoffa. Who gives a fuck? Jimmy Hoffa hasn't put a dollar in my fucking yarmulke in years. That's all you got to worry about, Lee. Don't worry about fucking the yarmulkes or nothing else. And for fat alert, fat people alert, fat people alert, there's a peanut butter fucking recall. You understand me? Now, let me explain something to you. If you go to all these fucking little health food stores and buy peanut butter, you're going to fucking shit blood, and you're going to get salmonella, and you're going to get a bunch of fucking 103 temperature. Why do you go to these dummy places to buy peanut butter? Oh, I want all natural with low sugar. Peanut butter is peanut butter, all right? You go to fucking Jif. They're the best of... And they're not even my sponsors, I'm telling you. I've been eating Jif since the beginning of fucking time. You don't see me shitting blood and complaining.
Well, that's for other reasons.
What the fuck is wrong with you? I'm serious. You don't see me shitting blood or complaining. Peanut butter is easy if you go to fucking Jif. The creamy shit. I hate nuts in my
crunchy. It's awful.
It's awful, especially when you bite into it. I like it like prison. It's fucking creamy. They got the jelly. They got the white bread that's soft. You cut the fucking angles off. I grew up on. I love peanut butter and jelly.
No one's ever said that before. I like the peanut butter like I liked it in prison.
Yeah, it's peanut butter and jelly in prison. Let me tell you something. The best fucking peanut butter and jelly you get is prison because they got nothing else. And they give you the shit fucking peanut butter. You can taste the difference. But when you're in prison, you can't complain. You know, you love lucky you got a peanut butter sandwich. Never mind fucking Jif.
Yeah, the only time I ever bought crunchy is when you had me smoke hash, and I went to Ralph's, and I was spending like an hour and a half in there just walking up and down every aisle, and I just grabbed the wrong peanut butter. I got home, it was crunchy. It was in my cupboard.
I bet you ate it, cocksucker. No, you didn't put in your peanut butter for a year.
No, I had it. I ended up eating it, but it was there for a year because I went out and got creamy the next day.
And shit. By the way, last night, let me tell you something. I got off the plane on Sunday from Baltimore, which... The more I think about Baltimore, I love it, and I seen a good friend there when I was there, John Rollo, bad motherfucker, muscles on top of muscles. He's having an event at the First Mariner, October 19th, like an MMA event. The word on the street, they're like little UFCs. If you live in the Baltimore area, go support him. John Rollo's a bad motherfucker, and he puts on a good event. I'm still thinking about Baltimore, those fish, those crab cakes.
Wow.
World class, man. I'll never eat another fucking shit crab cakes at McCormick and Schmidt's or nowhere else.
No.
But last night when I got off the fucking plane on Sunday, I went to Divine Wellness, because when it comes to fucking edibles, Divine Wellness has your edible. I'm not even fucking with you. They got edibles. They went in the back and they go, "Do you like lollipops?"
Oh, you showed me this.
I said, "Everybody likes lollipops." And they were like, "Well, we got a lollipop for you that was dipped in the fucking pot thing. This is what they gave Jesus in the fucking cave." And they're called, I don't even know what the fuck they're called here. I gotta put my glasses on, I'm an old fucking man. They're called the Bud Barber. That's what it's called, budbarber.com. This is a strawberry banana suckle. And it's got 120 fucking pure THC with protein. You can't beat that one. It's THC with farts. Whey protein, you'll fucking fart up. I've been farting. It smells like a fucking ginger tree all day in my bathroom. But these lollipops, if you get your hands on these fucking lollipops, oh my God. You eat it, and like fucking 4 hours later, it just comes upon you. And it whacks you like a fucking left hook, Lee. Tremendous. I'm going to give you one for work. And you're sucking at work. By 12 o'clock, you'll be tapping out. You'll be calling your mom, collect. Mama. Mama. You'll be talking Israeli. Mama. Mama. It's the flying Jew. Send me some fucking paper. What else is going on, cocksucker? Tell me something. You know what I forgot? A couple people told me to talk about a couple topics today. But I've been thinking about, you know, I can't believe how many Pink Floyd people we have on Twitter. Like, when I put a Pink Floyd song on, we talk about Pink Floyd. I made Rogan put Echoes on live from Pompeii one time of his podcast.
Yeah, I remember that.
Home, I had 1,000 fucking people who love Pink Floyd. And there's a kid that's been hitting me up on what to listen to, whatever. I'll tell you, the other day Steve Avila was on.
Mm-hmm.
And that kid Steve Avila turned me on because I was into Wish You Were Here, and I was into Dark Side of the Moon, you know, in 1978, like every other fucking Momo, because it was commercial, you know. But he turned me on to Animals, which is one of the greatest Pink Floyd albums of all fucking time. It covers sheep, pigs, and dogs. And you could pick which one you're going to be in your life. They just break down fucking society. You could be a sheep. You could be a fucking pig. Three different types of sheep. But dogs, I listen to dogs, I got to tell you, almost as much as I listen to Black fucking Sabbath. Because it's the story of life. You know, you got to be crazy. You got to have a real need. You got to sleep on your toes when you're on the street. You got to be able to pick out the easy meat with your eyes closed. This is it. He just breaks it down to you. I can tell you that you need success and a high school diploma. You need to be a fucking savage. You need to go out there every morning and appreciate the day. You know, I went to 7-Eleven the other morning. I got up early at 4:30 and went and got a hot chocolate. And when I was there, I seen one of the guys from the wine. He goes, "You're always in a good mood in the morning." And it was crazy because I wanted to break it down to him. Like, I've woken up in the morning with no money. Like, never mind $2 in your pocket for hot chocolate. Just nothing. Wake up, and you got to go to the fucking Charlie's Deli, and you got to fucking put it on the arm. And I grew up with these kids, the Charlie's, when I was a kid, and up to 83. And I would go to their deli in the morning, get the newspaper on the arm. That's 50 cents on the credit. And I would get 2 eggs with bacon, toast, potatoes, all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And they would give me a 10 out of the register to get my day started.
That doesn't happen anymore.
No, and I would sign for it. And I come back, and Charlie is on fucking Facebook. He was one of my brothers, and I always thank him for that because he took care of me. But to wake up with no paper, to wake up with no hope. I would wake up and look at the paper and read the lines for sports gambling and see who I was going to bet tonight so I can make a living. And I get up early in those days because when you're planning a heist, you got to get the day going. People go to work early, so you want to at least break into the house by lunchtime or 1 o'clock. You need a couple hours to fucking jump and break the window and get into the safe.
A thief with a conscience.
It's a thief with an agenda. It's in a work ethic, you know, but what's the difference between breaking into a window and auditioning or going to do something that you love?
Nothing.
It's the same type of concept. And that's all I did. I took the love for that, like he says in Juicy. I took the love for that, and I turned it into love for this. And here we are 20 years later. It's the same fucking dynamics of crime in my head. When I get on Twitter in the morning, it's the same fucking dynamics. You know, when you go into a bar to sell fucking blow, you just go into the bar and tell people I got blow? No. You got to call three people over and give them a fucking bump and let them know what's crack-a-lacking. And they come back and they go, Joey, that's the shit that fucking Kennedy snorted when his head blew off in Dallas. You follow me? And then they come in and do business with you. Same thing with Twitter. I got to give them something. I got to get up in the morning and let these motherfuckers know what time is crack-a-lacking, what videos are in my mind. This morning I was outside smoking a fucking number, 445, and Guns N' Roses came into my head. Fuck it. If it's a Guns N' Roses type of energy, we spread that shit. It's a fucking Wednesday. Everybody hates Wednesday. Ooh, it's fucking hump day. Today's a beautiful day to be alive. You know why? Because you got two more and you're smoking dope and you're eating somebody's asshole. That's it. It's fucking Friday. What? Two more. What hump day? Oh, it's hump day. Every fucking day is beautiful, whether it's Saturday, Wednesday. Listen, I got to get up. You know me, Lee. I got to go this morning for a blood test. Usually, like, when I got to go on for a blood test, by this point in the day, I'm stabbing motherfuckers. Yeah. Thank God they let me eat. It's not one of those dry blood. Yeah, yeah.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, yeah. They're not checking all the other shit.
Okay.
Checking.
Anyone on the 101, just get off whenever Joey needs to get on.
Oh, when I got to go for a blood test, I'm just giving myself excuses. And then I get there, and I put fucking Santana on, and I put on Oye Como Va, and I look the other way, and they stick the fucking needle in my arm, and I'm gone. That's it. It's over. And you know what? A blood test takes 1 minute. But in my world, it takes 10 years.
Yeah, well, you were thinking about it last night.
Oh, I was thinking about it. But I went Monday, and they couldn't give me a blood test because I didn't have my insurance card. So I already walked through, and I already went through the whole fucking thing in my head. So I'm going to go in there today like a soldier and just put my fucking arm out, tie that motherfucker up, and blast it.
It's too bad Dr. Amy can't do it for you.
Ah, you know what, man? Dr. Amy's great with the fucking acupuncture and leave her at that. You know, the reason why I went to acupuncture was to overcome my fears. I have a fear of fucking needles. And what a better way to start. And I've been in acupuncture now for 5 or 6 years.
Wow.
I've been going. And I still faint from time to time in acupuncture, not as much as I used to, because what happened was I'd eat an edible. So I used to go to acupuncture on Tuesdays in the old days.
Mm-hmm.
And my buddy had a weed store in Hollywood. And he'd go, if you come here Tuesday mornings, the owner's not here. I'll give you all the... And he was a baker. He was a world-class baker. So he would always make chocolates and puddings with THC. And I would go there at 9 in the morning and blast a pudding. Well, by 1 o'clock... I go to acupuncture, my mind's in a different fucking dimension. You know what? A needle feels different in your skin.
Oh, well, I can imagine.
When you're on THC.
You can probably feel the whole thing.
Oh, you feel the whole fucking thing go in you. So a couple times she put needles on me and she'd go, are you cold? And she put a blanket on me and the blanket would move and it would be hanging off a needle and it'd be fucking poking up to my skin. So I'd faint from the fucking thing.
I just love that 10 years ago you were doing bumps and now you're just slamming puddings.
Oh, please. I'm slamming puddings like a doctor. Well, he's not there. No more. He has a skateboard company or something now. But the point being that I would go in and get all fucked up. I don't faint that much no more. I put my head down. I don't think about it. It's the thinking. It's like I told the doctor Monday. I go, I went for that shot a month ago. I didn't feel it, Lee. I could lie
really?
To you. I didn't fucking feel it. The one in my ass that I went for the penicillin.
I didn't know you got one in your ass.
Oh, I couldn't feel that. Not in my asshole. In my ass.
I know you.
You're over there thinking you got a needle in your ass? No, I didn't get a needle in my... Can you imagine a needle in your asshole? That's got to be a fucking nightmare. I'd smack the doctor. But I put the thing... I didn't feel it. It's when he took it out and I got up that I said, I let somebody put a needle in my ass cheek. Dog, I was sweating fucking profusely. I was green. They kept coming in. They wouldn't let me leave. My blood pressure was 2,000 over 90. It was a beautiful day.
Has the doctor done the prostate check with you yet?
Oh, fuck yeah. It's tremendous.
Really?
A finger in the ass from a doctor.
I can't believe you let him do it.
What are you going to do? I'm going to die of cancer because I'm not going to get a finger up my ass? What are you going to do? For a long time, I had that, oh, fuck it. I'll check myself. Let me know what you're looking for. If I got a bump with fucking strings on there. If your ass feels like a tree. But you go. Let me tell you something. Have you had a doctor put a finger up your ass?
Once. It's fucking magic.
It's magic.
What?
The first time it freaked me out. I had to cancel my fucking day because you want to go home and get a hug. It is traumatizing. Because he doesn't, like when you stick your finger up a girl's ass, usually when you're eating a pussy or she's in the kitchen bending over and you stick that fucking dot up her ass. But when a doctor sticks your finger up your ass, he lays you down. He goes, go into the fetal position. And he checks like your lungs with a fucking thing. And all of a sudden, without you knowing, he puts his fucking pre-cum on his finger and he slides that finger up your fucking muffler and you feel it in your belly button. Like
yeah.
Everything stops when you get the finger. As a man, when you get that finger in your ass, Everything fucking stops. Don't get me wrong. I've had like chicks put a little pinky in my hand, but that's nothing. That doctor had a long fucking finger, dog.
And it's up to the knuckles.
Oh my God. Twisting and he's turning. Twisting and turning it in. And I felt it. When he took that finger out, he told me to wipe. I thought I had a dirty ass. Because a lot of times you take a shit and you walk around for 20 minutes with a little dirty ass. You get that after residue. You have to do a couple wipes. It sticks onto your hemorrhoid. Whatever.
And the worst part, like the fetal position is the thing that got me, because I just sat, like, you sit there and they put the glove on you and you're in the fetal position, and I've only had it happen once, and it's just, it looked 30 seconds took 10 minutes.
Well, keep talking, I'm going to put another finger up your fucking ass.
That's when the podcast is over, guys.
I still got it, you know what I'm saying?
I still got it.
Anyway, fucking right away with fingers in your asses. Where are you taking these young kids? They're going to be scared. They're all going to be walking around with fucked up fingers in 30 years and texting. All you young fucks with your arthritic fingers are going to be walking around. What am I going to do, Uncle Joey? I can't finger bang nobody because you're texting, cocksucker.
You got to do it in
the Can you imagine back. 20 years from now there's going to be arthritis for texters?
Oh, there absolutely is.
Well, you were a heavy texter in 2010. Call us now. We'll fix your fucking fingers.
Yeah.
Your fingers will be all flat and shit from texting, you fucking momos. Just pick up the phone and call the bitch and tell us, look who's slinging dick. Daddy, motherfucker. I can't fucking believe it. Dick. And giving out bubblegum. Felicia Michaels just texted us 18 fucking times to remind you motherfuckers that they're doing the podcast awards. We want you to vote in for Beauty and the Beast. So go to podcastawards.com. And vote for Beauty and the Beast for
in the comedy section.
Yeah, it's a comedy section. It's a great podcast. We've been doing it for 2 years. You know, we're always on iTunes, and we want to promote it. Felicia's starting a new podcast.
Yeah, it's great.
You know, we're trying here. We're trying here at fucking Mad Flavor Enterprises to get this motherfucker together. We got the Flying Jew, Lee Syatt. What else, Lee? What else you fucking got? That's it. This week I'm going to Phoenix with the boys. The following week I'm going to be in Portland, Oregon, October 11th, solo, like fucking Robert Plant.
You'd be nervous when you're flying over Seattle.
No, I don't fly over Seattle. Seattle, what, don't you have a fucking B in geography? Portland comes before fucking Seattle.
Oh, really?
I had no idea. Seattle's all the way in the corner up there with the felons, and Portland's before it. Don't you have a fucking... Didn't you get an A in geography?
Nope. Obviously
I'm
not.
I'm going to Portland, Oregon. I'm having a lot of fucking fun. October 11th. I like Portland, Oregon. They ain't fucking around up there. I used to go to Portland. I used to go to Oregon. From Portland all the way to Grant's fucking pass. I know Oregon like a motherfucker. That's a great, beautiful state. I got into a fight with the fucking retards in Eugene at the finals that time. They had like the...
What?
Yeah, I told you when they had the American fucking retard association. I don't know. Some fucking association.
And what club are you at in Portland?
I'm at a Helium Comedy Club. Okay. We were at Eugene at some hotel there, and they had like the Junior Olympics. I shouldn't call them retard. They had the Junior Olympics. And some fucking kid went astray, and Jody Fertig, my friend with the fucking tits and the ass, was on stage. And the tart saw, and he got like super tart strength. You know, they're fucking strong. And there was four black guys working the door from the University of Oregon football team. This guy was going around them like they were nothing. Do you understand?
Oh.
And they were trying to tackle this fucking guy. Finally, the Humane Society came. Where were those people on? They tackled them. They had to give him a shot. Fucking poor Momo's on the floor rolling back. And he kept yelling, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. He seen those. He was dancing with her first. That's what happened. He broke away from his dance.
Okay.
Right? They had like this big Junior Olympic dance. And he broke away from their dance and went into the comedy show. And then they were playing music afterward. And the girl was dancing.
Okay.
So he started dancing when he started looking at her titties. You could see he was drooling and shit. He was going fucking bananas. He was looking at those titties. He was drooling. And all of a sudden, he kept leaving. And he kept coming back. He was thinking about the tits. Finally, I seen him that he grabbed and he was just smelling her tits. And she was goofing around. She's like, oh, he's so cute. And I'm like, dog, don't fuck with that motherfucker. Those little tarts, they'll take you to the back room. This will be a CVU, a CUV.
SVU.
SVU episode, motherfucker. Dog, do you know this? That they told him to stop. And
okay.
Then she was dancing by herself. He came back and he's like, yee, yee, yee. He tried to get in there. I'm not kidding you, dog. I wish I was lying to him. I'm not even trying to be funny. And the black guy's like, listen, dog, you can't come in here. He's like, yee, yee, yee. This motherfucker started doing turnarounds. He started swimming through the offensive line like he was fucking Lawrence Taylor. Four fucking yams, four big brothers couldn't fucking hold this poor kid. Finally, the fucking handlers had to come and tie him up. It was like, it was fucking crazy. Those kids, dog, I had a teacher in high school, Mr. Panacucci. He lost his arm in Vietnam, so he had a nub and like an arm. When that motherfucker would hit you with that nub, it was all over.
He would hit you with a nub.
Oh my God, he would nub you right in the kidney. He would nub you. You would go down like a fucking box of chocolate, dog. I'm telling you. Mr. Panacucci would fucking give you a little nub and he would fuck you up, dog.
Jesus Christ, the nubs and the fucking tarts.
Yesterday I got this fucking thing. I did this commercial for GoDaddy and they put this chain on me. I play the pizza owner. And they gave me this fucking chain, and it's like this little horn is like the Italian Maluk. You know,
yeah, you're telling me.
To protect it. It's like a pepper but in gold. It's not really gold. It's probably standard. If I take this to the pawn shop, they'll throw me out. But I fucking, you can always tell when you got bad jewelry because the hinges. If the hinges are good, you got shit jewelry. If the hinges are good, like the lockets.
If they're stuff, good, you have bad
good,
jewelry?
You have good jewelry.
Okay.
That's how you can tell if it's fake fucking gold. Like, this is a Puerto Rican hinge right there. This is nothing. This is gold plate.
This is coming from a guy who robbed the jewelry store and had
sure, fucking chains. I know all about this shit. This is my life. When you fucking depend on bringing in jewelry and getting 10% every day, you got to know what it looks like before you show up, because then you look like a fucking Momo. You show up with something bad.
So show up with Puerto Rican jewelry.
Yeah, but right here, they have this this horn, right? And Mr. Barone, our teacher, that was a documentary, we were in the sixth grade, he'd go, this is why I put on like 10 of these when the Yankees play the Red Sox. And whenever Reggie Jackson slides, I put the fucking horn on him. Break your ankle, you fucking black cocksucker. This is what this teacher used to tell us in the sixth grade. That's why I love him still till today. But fuck it, Lee. We got a bunch of shit cracking soon. I don't even know. I don't even know what time it is, what time this guy's going to call. Like I said, I can't even smoke dope this morning. Because I gotta go to the fucking doctor.
Why can't you smoke?
Because it's psychological. When I sit there with the needle, she puts it. And this is the first time I'm going to this place. Like, see, it's SAG. I already know those people down at Bob Hope Medical Center. I've been going there for 10 fucking years. So I'm used to this one beautiful black sister that takes blood out. She wears a little wig, hot in the motherfucker. And then they got this little Mexican girl that's quiet. I don't even feel it. They put that kid's needle in me, and they put the liquid cocaine on my arm. I look the other fucking way. Boom! They get those five tubes out of you. I got coconut water to replace the fucking blood cells.
I feel like I should call the nurse and just warn her as I'm leaving. Just, you have Joey Diaz coming in.
They fucking know. Get ready they for fucking it. Know. I got wanted posters everywhere. This man will faint. Dog, I fucking faint. I'm telling you right now. But I've been good. That's why the good Lord did me a favor when he didn't let me do fucking... Because I love heroin. If the good God would have made me been able to fucking shoot, I wouldn't be here right now. I'd be in the corner, shriveled up, nodding.
Yeah, that one scares me. There was a scene in Breaking Bad a couple seasons ago where they were on it and they were just... They were dead. They were dead and walking, and they were just like passed out for days. And that one looked scary.
Oh, heroin is good when you get your dick sucked on heroin. You do a little fucking snort of heroin and shit. You put a little Led Zeppelin No Quarter on, and you tell. You ever see the movie Panero?
No.
There's a movie called Panero with the guy from Law and Order. From Law and Order,
okay.
Just the regular guy, the Spanish guy.
Okay.
He plays this guy Panero, Miguel Panero. For a lot of people who don't know. Was a playwright who went to jail, and he wrote a play. I forget what the name of it was. Something Eyes.
Got a call coming in. We'll finish Panero after the call.
Mike Kessler.
Oh, good. I thought I was ordering Chinese food.
No, what's happening, cocksucker? Hey, Mike Kessler, let me ask you something.
Uh-oh.
Mike Kessler, what's the name? Oh, Panero's play was called Short Eyes, correct? The one that won... Everything on Broadway.
Right.
Miguel Panero. Remember?
Edward James almost in that.
Yeah, somebody else. No, those are Puerto Rican guys. But I'm talking. Anyway, don't worry about fucking IMDb. Uncle Mike, what's happening, cocksucker?
Nothing. I'm up here in Paradise. I'm up in Woodstock, New York. Not where all those dirty hippies hung out, but the actual town of Woodstock.
All right. What's going on up there?
We're working with a couple of ran into some fantastic musicians, and I've been writing and recording.
You're a fucking savage. You miss Boulder, Colorado?
I've always missed Boulder, Colorado. I drove through there on my way out to New York when I left L.A. back in February, just in time to watch the Giants beat New England, you know?
I hear you. Oh, and, Jesus Christ. You know, you got the flying Jew in here. He's a fucking New England Patriot fan. You just killed him.
That's the saddest thing in the past three Super Bowls.
What's that?
Oh, the past two times we played him and they killed us. It's funny. It brings nightmares back. But anyways, Joey has some great stories about you.
Uncle Mike, I know.
When one of your closest friends, Don Marino, says, pack the car, and his entire family does nothing every Sunday for the last 40 years but watch Patriot games, a lot of fun. That game was a lot of fun.
Hey, Mike Kessler,
that's what texting is for.
I was thinking about you in Boulder the other day.
I got a nickel.
All right, I was thinking about you in Boulder the other day when the time we bought the 8-ball and you were going to a wedding the next day and you hid the 8-ball in the dollhouse and you told me to go to your house and walk the fucking dog. And I'll tell you what, dog, I went in this house and I retraced Mike's steps and I hunted down the fucking 8-ball. It was the most brilliant thing I ever done in my life. Now, I was a burglar and I've gone into people's houses and I found the fucking 8-balls all the time. But this time was amazing because I did not know where it was. Why'd you fucking hide it, Mike cocksucker?
Did I even know I hid it? I mean, those are some like very foggy kind of days, you know. And it was like, I was blind. Somehow or other, I managed to buy a house through all that. I have no idea how I did that. And I actually paid for the fucking thing. It actually worked out. It's about the only thing I did right. It's a nice house. It's a nice, Boulder, beautiful place to raise your family. And as you can probably tell by my accent, I come from the same neighborhood as Joey on the other side of the river. And you get to Boulder, and it's the Boulder's the whitest place. Is there any place whiter than Boulder that you think of?
They're the smartest people in the fucking world, but the dumbest motherfuckers in the world at the same time. Remember when somebody put the box by Bank of America, by Bank of Hub, that thing on 30th and Iris? They put a box in front of the Bank of America, and they said, the deposits are closed. Put your deposits in the box. And these motherfuckers put the deposit in the box. These guys are astronauts walking around. Mike, how long have we been together? How long have we been fucking hanging out for?
I was thinking about it when we talked last week. I said, geez, must have been like 88 or 89. And I kind of left New York in a hurry, didn't know what to do. And when all you can do is bullshit, you get a job selling cars, right? So that was my first car job. And I'm standing out in front on 30th Street. Now, Boulder, Colorado, if anybody ain't ever seen a picture of it, it's a fucking postcard, This gorgeous place, and I get a job at Little Nissan Store. It's these really nice people, not the criminals that are usually in the car business. And this guy comes walking down the street, and he kind of looks like a young and pretty Luca Brasia, so which means he's probably from like the neighborhood, And he starts kind of, Joey talks to anybody. He starts a conversation with me, and I talk to anybody, so we talk back before we know it. And I go, well, where are you going? He said, I'm going to my job. Where do you work? I work at the Puddle Car Wash. And, he's the only one who wasn't Mexican that worked at the Puddle Car Wash. So I said, what are you doing there? He goes, I'm living in a halfway house. Halfway house? What is it, rehab? But I just got out of prison. Oh, what'd you do? Well, I was in for attempted murder. I said, only attempted, eh? All right, that's not bad. And that was the first day I met you. It's hysterical. And then from there, it was, how long did we live in Boulder together? 10 years?
Yeah, but you know what's funny?
I stayed for a while.
You were there when I started Comedy Dog. You were there when I was still married.
I was there at
my daughter.
I was there the night
daughter.
You started Comedy.
Yeah, and then you used to drive me to
there,
Club Mix.
I was there
Mix.
The night we used to run around. I don't know what day going on. Can I tell the Christmas shopping story?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Okay, so. It's like Christmas. All right, I have a job. He barely has a job. We're always trying. And we both had little kids. My kids were older. I'm older. So my kids are teenagers already. It wasn't a big deal. And he goes, come on. And I could have been, I swear to God, I could have been, December 24th. And he goes, I pull up here. We're in the shopping center. And these are all white people. I pull up to the shopping center. He goes, wait here. And he comes out with 40s Nintendos, or Ataris, whatever it was at the time, the big video game that everybody had to have. And he's got four of them, and he's got this guy wearing a jacket that works for Toys R Us, holding the door for him, helping him to the fucking car. He just walked in and picked up these four Ataris and just took them out. I mean, he didn't bother to stop by the cash register.
It was fucking amazing.
What are you going to do with what are you going to do with four of them? He goes, well, we're going to bring three of them back, and then we're going to go get the refund. So, which was another story. That was about it. And that was 89, and then you decided you had to go to work. So we got your job in, Flatiron's Acura and Subaru, and he gets on the floor. He's probably the best salesman there, and sells like two cars in 2 days. But by day three, he's got the general manager pinned against the wall with his hand on his throat, saying, and you never saw anybody. So they come and get me to, you know, because somebody had to pull him off. I didn't have to pull him off. What are you doing, man? And that was the end of his career, two-day career.
That was
he only had problems following. He had problems following direction from guys from Indiana.
No, I liked Jeff. It was the way he talked to you. You know that. You know, I was really rough then. So if you talked to me a certain way, I didn't know what the fuck was going on. I just came out of the joint. But one of the best stories I just remember with Mike was, Mike was working at this dealership. And I tell Mike, I go, Mike, I need fucking cash for the rent. I don't know what to do. And I'm over there one day talking to Mike. He's giving me 10, 15 bucks from time to time. I go over there on a bicycle. And go, Mike, I need money. He'd give me 10 bucks. Like, I was his son. He'd give me 10 bucks. And one day I'm over there. He goes, hold on. I got to get cash out of the spiff box or some shit. And at the dealership, at the Subaru dealership, they have this fucking box with cash in it. And he, changes the 20 in there for 2 tens. And I go, what do they put that box? And he goes, don't even think about it. So it's a Friday night. So what I would do is, at night, I would go to King Supers, which is the grocery store, and I'd buy a piece of Edam cheese, crackers, and a container of freshly squeezed orange juice. I love that meal. And I would eat it at the Acura lot and look at the cars. So one night I'm at this Acura lot, I go, I got to get that spiff box. I basically took the door off the fucking hinges. I mean, I ripped it open. Went in there, the closet was open. I took the fucking spiff box, $400. I paid rent, and I kept $50 for the weekend or something. The next day, Mike calls me. Okay. He knows it's me. Go ahead, Mike.
He didn't tell me he's doing. He didn't announce his plans in advance. I would have said, no, I'm not. Go somewhere else, will you? I walk in, and they go, we had a break-in last night. We're going to break it. It's a fucking car dealership. We barely used to lock the doors, but we locked these doors, the showroom doors. And I walk in and I see this big door. So you know what kind of door it is? It's the kind of door where you have, when a little kid goes to a car shop, he goes car shopping, you go, how do you get the cars out of here? You know, well, it's that door, the big fucking door that you drive a car through.
So I picked it up like Hercules.
And the door is, and he picks the fucking thing. I mean, it's a huge door. It's off the hinges, and it's gently, he didn't break it, gently laid against the wall. And they come in and they go, somebody came in and they robbed the spiff bag. And now I know these guys. These guys were like, these were the nicest people, you know, Dave and Fred, and they put up with me because I was a bit of a nutcase, but I sold cars and I showed up. So they go like, who do you think it was? I said, I can't imagine. They go, we think it's an inside job. And I'm going, yeah, who was it? An inside job? What was it, an inside job? And they go, let's blame, I don't want to mention the poor guy.
Yeah,
but
they blame somebody.
he was absolutely, you know, the type of person that everybody would have assumed needed money for blow, and that he took it. And I went like this. They looked at me. I said, wow, he sounds guilty to me, you know. And it never, ever, 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 ever came up. They still don't know if they hear this. I love you guys. I apologize. But it was only $400. What do you
know? Here's a good Mike Kessler story. Kessler's daughter is an editor, and she was at the University of Colorado, and she wants to shoot a movie. By this time, I'm tight with the Kesslers.
My daughter.
Right. I'm going to their house, and I know all the girls, and I'm playing with the dog, and I know the mother.
Yeah.
The mother's making me veal scallopini, and they love me on the weekends. I go over there with my daughter, and they play, and we shoot this movie, and we're up in, what's the name of the city where we're shooting this movie?
Lyons, Colorado.
So they make me go up there at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, what city? What city? There's three stores.
Right. It's one. Right. It's just fucking nothing. So we got this restaurant for the day. I go up there. I didn't know the filmmaking process. I had no idea about movies. This is my first movie ever. It was a college movie, and his daughter was the director. So I get there. They don't shoot all day. I get there at 11. At 1 in the morning, I still haven't fucking shot, and I'm furious. So there's this truck, right? There's this truck with a shell, like a Toyota truck. And they go, if you want, go lay down on the truck. So I go lay down on the truck. And all of a sudden, about 20 minutes later, this chick lays down next to me, who's a friend of Mike Kessler's wife. And I'm 29, maybe 27, 28. And she's got to be 40-something. She had a fucked-up face, but the body was banging. So she lays down next to me. She's rubbing me. She's like, you know, it's going to be all right. Don't worry about it. And we start swapping spit. And I feel her pussy. And there's little chains on her pussy. On her clit, she had like little chains, like a wind chimes and shit. So we start making out. And I turn her over to fuck a doggy style. But I put my dick in her ass. And I fuck her in the ass. And I come and I turn over and go to bed. The next day I get to Kessler's house. And all the women are mad at me. Because they said I fucked her in the ass and gave her what? What did I give her? I gave her some disease, Mike. What did I give her?
They're still mad at you. And by the way, I think it might still be one of your finest performances. Oh, wait, did you tell them this? The movie was based... No, this was... My kid, it was her senior film. She was at CU Film School. CU's got a... University of Colorado's got a decent film school. It's a senior film school, and she's going like... And somehow, I guess, we had told her the story. I mean, she's a big chick. No, I mean, my kids were raised in... They're really raised in Manhattan, so... I didn't have too much. So, we tell her a story, but they go, well, why did Joey go to prison? So we start telling them roughly, the real complicated version of exactly what happened. But I said, well, essentially, Joey rips off a coke dealer, takes him up with duct tape, puts him in the tape of the car, and leaves him there, and the guy, and I saw, you know, I have made it up, the guy's kicking, and the guy gets stopped for, I don't even know what the real version is anymore, but the version that went into the movie was this, he walks into the restaurant, he tells, and there's this guy with beautiful, gorgeous skin, and this freaky looking blonde, kind of like, you know, somebody like, you know, what's it like, Andy Warhol, right? And she sits at the counter anyway, so the story was he walks in, where is your exchange? He smashes a bottle over the guy's head and then throws him in the back of a car, and we bought it from Jack Smoot, the wholesaler. I was working with Carl, okay, he's gonna auction. And we had some black sedan and that was it, 24-hour movie. By the way, she won first prize.
Yeah, she won first prize. I sold it. You want me to tell you the funniest thing? Guess who Facebooked me on Saturday morning? Kent Vella, the guy I kidnapped 24 years ago.
He did?
Kent
Vella Facebooked me.
That's the guy in the trunk.
You're right. You could see he was all fucked up. Let me read you the fucking email so you read it. And you guys, go to Kent Vella on Facebook and hit him up.
Oh, he's going to have a fucking
attack. Tell him that you want him to do the fucking podcast. Because I asked him, I go, hey, man, it was a long fucking time ago. You know, what the fuck? Just do the podcast. I apologize. Let me read you the fucking note he sent me. Just so you motherfucker. Maybe he erased it because he was embarrassed. Yeah, he erased it. But I hit him back last night. Yeah, I hit him back last night. Listen to my wife sneezing. She's a fucking animal. It drives me crazy when she sneezes. It's like being around a fucking animal. I've never seen nothing like that in all my life. All right, listen to what he wrote. September 28th, he wrote, cocksucker. And, hey man, let's get real. When you contacted me, I'm kind of puckered up. Didn't know you were still Mr. Snuffleupagus. Had no idea you were sweating like a fat fuck in L.A. I'm in the fucking desert. Fuck, stick, prick, motherfucker. You hot it twice, motherfucker. He must have been drunk as a skunk. So I wrote back, I hope you're doing well. And I wrote back, you know, thanks for saying hello. Even though you were high as fuck, I'll be in Phoenix. I'd like for you to call into the podcast. And then I hit him again yesterday. You were fucked up to the gills the other night. Anyway, do me a favor. Can you do the podcast for me? Let's talk about what happened. It was over 20 years ago. And we're still here. You know, so please, if you listen to this podcast, go to Kent Vella. He's in Tucson, Arizona on Facebook. Message him till he fucking calls us back. We want to hear his story about what happened on that fucking day. And that's it, brother. You know, I just want to get it out there in the open and let people know. Mike was my, you know, it's funny, I've been clean for 5 years, and when I got here, about 2 years later, Mike moved to L.A., and it was the best thing of my life, because I finally had somebody that I trusted, and we would run together, all Felipe's bars, and Gabriel Iglesias, one of those guys called Mike Kessler the Wolf. Whenever I see those guys, they always go, how's the Wolf doing? He's here to clean up the mess. But me and Mike were what we call running partners, which a lot of people will never fucking have in 30 in all their life, which means he would pick me up at 8:01 on the dot. We would both have no money, and our goal was to get blow and get money. And sometimes we fucking went to the store and borrowed money and got a gram each and some weed and $10 to go. And sometimes we split a 60, but we always went home with something. And it was amazing.
We're real proud of all that shit, aren't we? So,
hey, man, you got to be proud of that, because a lot of people don't have that in their life when you have an addiction.
It was the best. I had that went on for like, what, 2 years?
2 or 3 years, man, until I fucking quit.
2 or 3 years, and I got to see more comedy than anyone that's not a comic ever saw. And I kept going. Besides that, we were like, you know, sort of kindred spirits in the devil's way. But because we were both like, you know, and nobody needed to know what nobody knew what the fuck I did. But anyway, I got to, you know, go to and hang out in the back of the Comedy Store, the Laugh Factory, and the Improv. And I would hang out in the back, and I would sit there, and like a lot of people who ever got a laugh in a living room, think they're like, I could do that, you know? And it's like, and then you see how hard it is and how much when you see how bad the open night mics are. Hey, listen, I remember how bad Joey Diaz was the first time he went up at, what was that?
The Broker Inn in Boulder. I started with a contest there. I told the story last week on the Testicle Testaments.
Right.
About, you know, it's been 20 years, and it didn't feel like 20 years, Mike. And, Mike, you sold me my car to go on the road. Remember, you sold me the Datsun B210 to go on the road.
You and Stanhope, I just saw him. Stanhope got a Showtime thing, right?
Right, yes.
Stanhope, they had just, yes, I sold you the car, and I sold Stanhope a car. Stanhope's car, I think, is still running.
Yeah, it's a little Honda. It's a Chrysler. But the Stanhope, you did a solid for Stanhope. He didn't have a license, and you put the car in your address. And for a lot of Stanhope fans, this guy bailed out fucking Stanhope. So Stanhope had a license to put to my friend's house. That's how we run. If you're in a fucking bind, we'll help you out. I mean, and another thing, I got to tell something about Mike Kessler. It's very important about this podcast, because it's the spirit of this podcast and with the church and what's happening now. Mike is 60-something. He's retired. And he wanted to fulfill his dream in life at 60, guys, which is to put a band back together. And that's why he moved to New York. And I miss him dearly. I wish he was here with me. He'd be doing the podcast every morning, laughing and giggling with me and the Flying Jew. But for you motherfuckers that can't get your life together and all this shit, think of this guy. This guy at 64. How old are you, Mike?
65.
He put a band back together, writes.
I'm putting the band back together on a Medicare card.
On a Medicare card. So for you motherfuckers that are young and can't get your mind together and don't know what to do next, please. We're talking about two guys here that me and this guy were as junky as you could be, man. From smoking crack to doing whatever. I mean, what's your crack dealer's name? Flacco.
It was always Flacco.
It's always Flacco. But to have that desire at 60, for you guys who put down drugs and talk shit or whatever, listen, it's all in your heart, man. The drugs don't do nothing. The drugs just help this journey get smoother or get harder. The decision's up to you. But you still got to have a fucking something, a target in sight. You still got to have a fucking goal in sight. And when this motherfucker told me at 64 that he was moving back to New York to start a band, I was sad because I was going to miss him. But I also knew that you have 3 fucking lives in this life. You have like 10 lives in this life. You can make, you know, one day you're a photographer making millions. The next day you're in a fucking band, you know. But you're living your fucking life, you know. And I wish at 65 I had the balls to try something new. So I love you, Mike. And I want these guys to give you the fucking respect you deserve. If you see Mike pick up his groceries and walk him home, you know what I'm saying?
You actually will. I'm keeping a little bit close to the cuff with some of the stuff, but here's a funny thing. If you want to talk about the way life can be just insane, if you just wake up every fucking day. And by the way, let me tell you something. Whoever thinks that Joey Diaz is this lazy, you know, even in the worst of times, this fucking guy would be, he'd be calling me at like 7:30 in the morning, you know, and I'm going like, what are you doing up at this hour? I mean, we were out till 2 o'clock, you know? And he's up at 7:30, and he's writing every morning. And every time his career was going, you know, it was like, boom. By the way, in his 3 years, let me tell you something, if anybody's thinking about starting something. He would get up, we would drive, you know, we'd drive to the Comedy Store, pick up $20. What were you making there? I mean, you go to this other place for $40. And then we'd drive out to the fucking Inland Empire, okay? And we go out, we had to go, it was a comedy club, we had to go through a metal detector, okay? What can I tell you? and I don't know, we made $50 and we spent $50 in gas to get there. It was that this guy would get up and play for nothing, because that's essentially what he was doing. But he would play because that was his act, and he was sharpening his fucking act. And it's the same fucking story when the Beatles got good. They went to fucking Germany and played every night for 6 hours a night, and so on and so forth. Everything you do can be done at any point in your life when you make a decision. And there were times where Joey would be there. I mean, what was it? Every 6 months, you know, come on, I'm going to go call the Ford store, because, you know, I'm going to call the Ford store, and I'm going to tell the Ford store, you know, I'm going to go, maybe I can work 4 days a week and stuff, and my income, and I'd look at him, and I'd go, you ain't going to no Ford store. And then he called back the next day. You know, I interviewed at the Ford store, and I go, you ain't going to go to no Ford store. He made a decision that if he was going to be successful with this, that this is what he was going to do, come hell or high water, however he had to survive. And he's very lucky because he had an incredible, along the way, an incredible woman in Terry Clark, and I think that's part of what made it work, but it was determination. And the reason I'm telling you that story is because when I came out here, the guys I came out to start the band with, they're gone. I'm working with two black guys and a white kid that sounds black, okay? And I mean, I'm, you know, this music is coming out, and I'll say, you know, I haven't sent you anything, Joey, but eventually I'll send it. You go, you won't believe it.
Well, we'll play it on the fucking like show, Mike Kessler.
You know, so
yeah. Is there a band name yet or not yet?
You got a band? That? You got a band name yet or no?
No. We're what happened is I just got back. We locked ourselves in a house. Because Denny King, I got Denny King, Steve Woolley, and Will Tyler. Will Tyler's 25 years old, and he raps. And Denny King plays every instrument, and he's one of these wizards on the Pro Tools. And Steve Woolley plays bass and keyboards. Nobody reads a note of music, and you will not believe how well these guys play. But more importantly, these guys are like 40 years old, 25 years old. And for some reason, we hit a chemistry, and I'm doing lyric and melody and stuff, and I'm playing with these guys. And we were in this guy's house for 2 weeks. I just got back when you called me last night. After 2 weeks, we laid around like old school, you know, we smoking weed and drinking coffee, no bad drugs. These guys don't do bad drugs. They don't even drink. I'm the only one that drinks a little bit, you know, especially when you're doing vocals. And we leave it, and, you know, we got the TV screen on with, like, you know, the world's dumbest criminals, you know, shit like that, you know, and we're writing beautiful, and we're writing love songs, and we're writing, and everything's different, but it's been a process. I've never experienced anything like this in my life. This is not what I came out to do. I came out to rejoin some guys my age, maybe one of their kids, and that kind of, we got a good song out of that.
Well, you figure out who the fucking savages are. And look, you went out there to be with somebody else, and you went out there to do something, and you ended up doing something else. But the bottom line is, you took a fucking chance, Uncle Mike. And at the end of the day,
in the first Rocky movie, remember? Take a shot.
You gotta take a shot. If not,
at least he took a shot.
If you don't take a shot, you're never gonna fucking know, Mike. I got a boogie. I love you, cocksucker. When you get the song out, send it in. These motherfuckers will want to hear you.
Yeah,
I'll call you in a while.
I'll send you some love. All right, cool.
We'll put it up here. Lee, say hello to the Flying Jew. Say hello, cocksucker.
Bye, Mike.
I love you, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Lee? I'll find out who you are as soon as all the dust settles. He calls me last night at midnight. He says, he'll call me back in the morning. All right.
I love you,
baby.
Bye, buddy. That's the real fucking deal there. I mean, for you motherfuckers, don't know what to do with your life at 65. This guy left. 64.
Because, yeah, you think, like, even at 64. My age, like, I'm thinking, oh, I got to get the jobs going, and I don't want to mess up my credit score. And
you got to live your life, guys. You got to live your fucking life. Don't worry about Joe Rogan or Joe Diaz or this guy or that guy. You got to live your fucking life, guys. And go out there and give it everything you got. And if you fail, fuck it. You get up every day. That's what I tell you fucking guys. Every day you have a new chance of doing whatever the fuck you want to do. Hit them with that fucking dog solo from David Gilmour. Because I love this fucking song. This is the backbone. Some kid keeps hitting me up going, what's the Pink Floyd show? Listen, I sent them on Animals. Now I'm going to put them on Metal. And then we're going to move up to Wish You Were Here. But let's kick it. This guitar solo by David Gilmour. Are you kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me, people? You could feel the pain right there. Listen to this shit, people. This is, yeah, Roger Waters, this and this, but listen to this fucking heartness right here. He's just beating the fuck out of this motherfucker with his soul. For you motherfuckers that are confused and want to hit me back, listen to this guy's version. Listen to this. Kick it now.
And when you lose control, you'll reap the harvest you have sown.
Kick it. You reap the harvest you have sown, you dirty motherfuckers. Claim responsibility. It's Wednesday, you bad motherfuckers. I want to thank Mike Kessler again for calling. Lee the Flying Jew, October 11th. We're in Portland, fucking Oregon. This week, where I'm in Arizona with Joy and Death Squad and the boys. I'll be there only Friday and Saturday because I got to go to I got to go back and go to New York and all this shit. But we're going to do a special edition church Friday morning.
Yeah,
6 o'clock, a little gambling thing. We're going to help you out, maybe a couple football picks. I'm going to try to have some lunatic call up. And that's fucking it, man. I'm happy you guys are tuning into the church of what's happening now. You guys, just please subscribe. We want to get to the top of the fucking charts and kill everybody. Thank you for supporting Ari Shaffir and his number one CD, Demetrius Martin. Knocked him out yesterday. I love Demetrius. But we got to put fucking Ari back because he's the king of the fucking Jews. We're going to keep him up there till what's the next holiday? Yarmulke.
Hanukkah.
We're going to keep him next to fucking Hanukkah. On top of that, me and Ari are doing the Chicago House of Blues November 8th on a Thursday night. Fuck work on Friday on the 9th. Come on out. Tickets are on sale. It's half sold out already. We got a few tickets left, but this show is going to fucking rock. You got the number one fucking CD and Joe motherfucking Diaz, the savage in heat, slinging dick with clean fucking nuts because that's the most important thing. Wash that dick till they wash your asshole. Cleanliness is next to godliness, motherfuckers, if you guys don't know. And that applies to the Jews and you fucking Arabs too. Wash that fucking pussy. I love you motherfuckers. The Armenians, the Germans, I love yous all. Don't forget, Lee Syatt, what's going on? What do you got to tell these people? Anything good? Look, I'm foaming at the fucking mouth.
Nothing. I'm just laughing at all the... We have to make up a new calendar with your sayings, and then it'll be the holidays. Hanukkah,
Yarmulke. You know what I'm talking about. You pick up a fucking envelope, you Jew cocksucker. That's all that matters. Grandma puts you in the fucking will. I love you guys for listening. I'm sorry I went fucking astray today, but that's the best thing about having a podcast. The most important thing is the church of what's happening now. We fucking got you, Lee. We got these motherfuckers.
Yeah.
We got the dates. If you're looking for t-shirts, I'm going to refuel. I'm going to fucking restock the joint pretty soon with some new sayings and some church t-shirts. But we got to get rid of these. Go to JoeyCocoDiaz.net. Beauty and the Beast. Don't forget tonight, we got a podcast tonight. At the Ice House, yeah. I think so. I think they're doing a podcast. But besides, I don't know what else to fucking tell you, Lee. We had a great week so far. I booked a commercial. I worked out. I went to the doctor. I'm getting a blood test. I'm going to get healthy. You know, I'm up to like 305. I put on some fucking weight because my wife is pregnant. And all she does is have fucking... I went to eat fruit last night because I like to eat fruit before I go to bed.
Yeah, so it comes out, yeah. And the next
the morning. Fucking bananas were fucking ripe. I hate ripe bananas. I hate like when they got brown spots on them.
I eat
the banana and cut around the brown spot.
Oh, really?
I don't like that shit at all. It drives me fucking ubat, so.
I think that's a fat guy thing because I do that too. Any excuse not to eat it. Oh, I've got to cut half the banana.
Oh, I hate that. I like my bananas with a little green on them. I like them fucking strong. Hard like a black cock. Fucking fear of a black fucker. What music you got to tear these people up to?
Let's do Biggie.
Let's see what they got. I love you guys. See you Friday morning. Thank you very much. Thanks to Mike Kessler for the inspiration this morning. And like I said, live your fucking life, guys. Who gives a fuck about fucking the office? fucking shit shows anyway. Get a grip, motherfucker. Yeah.
This album is dedicated.
Oh shit.
To all the teachers that told me I never.
Look at Lee, looking like the guy from the office, little chubby guy and shit. You're starting to look like him. I love you, Lee Sayat. Thank you very much for being here. The Flying Jew. Follow him on Twitter. Mad Flavor. I love you guys. See you Friday. Have a great day. It was all a dream. Here we go. It always just starts with a fucking dream, motherfuckers. What? Fuck the weather. You control your fate, motherfuckers. Here we go. Oh, shit. Smoking weed and bamboo, sipping on private stock. Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match. Remember rapping, do the ha, oh shit. Now I'm in the limelight cause I rhyme tight. Time to get paid, blow up like the World Trade. Born sinner, the opposite of a winner. What? It's fucking Wednesday, get up out of those nuts.
Brucey B, kick it free. Funk, master flex, love bug, star ski. I'm blowing up like you thought I would. Call a crib, same number, same hood. It's all good.
So good. Yeah.
And if you don't know.